Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of the 8th of April. It is the night after the day before that saw Celtic go to Ibrox and draw 3-3. It was a game with a lot of entertainment and action. Celtic went 2-0 up, firstly through Daisy Maeda opening the scoring after 25 seconds. Celtic were then amazingly awarded a penalty for a corner golden handball at Ibrox. You heard that right. Matt O'Reilly converted it, cool as you like, and Celtic got to half-time 2-0 up. It soon changed in the second half when John Beaton was instructed to go and award Rangers a penalty, which Tavernier scored. Celtic then held on for about half an hour before a deflected Seamas strike made it 2-2. The Celtic, to their credit, responded instantaneously through Adam Ida, who made it 3-2 in the 87th minute and looked for all the world that it would be the winner. But they were undone by a Rabi Matondo strike in the 93rd minute, so delighted to say that it's a full complement of the Four Times on tonight to discuss this game, what we thought of it, and what we think it means for the league season. Daniel, coming to you, as I say, it was a game that had a bit of everything. A few weeks ago, a lot of Celtic fans, maybe including some of us, thought we might have been only a bit of hiding, but as Brendan Rodgers says in his post-match interview, and what he's been saying in press conferences for weeks, is that the league title's very much still in our own destiny after yesterday. What was your thoughts on the game?
I thought in the first half it was the best performance of the season. It's the performance that I'd been waiting on all season since Rodgers came back. I thought we were so good in the first half. Pressed them off the park, passed them off the park. Every player was on it. O'Reilly and Hatate were getting an awful lot of space. And so they just couldn't live with us. And poor finishing for us and a great save for Butland for an O'Reilly header stopped it being 4 or 5, and they could have had no complaints if they were further behind at half time. We were so good in that first half, and it was the goal, like Maeda scores, it's an accident, it's a freak like incident, but only Maeda could make that happen really for us. You know, you don't see goals like that every week. Maeda, like, love him or hate him, for better or worse, I can't explain him. He's an enigma. He's probably one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life, and yet he looks like sometimes controlling a football is too much for him. But as soon as Hart kicks it, Maeda's on his bite, and any sloppiness or slackness for them, you know, athletes like that punish it. And I just sat down and I was like, just keep it tight, because we all thought, I mean, we've been texting each other for days about what's going to happen in this game. In the first 10 minutes, they're going to come flying out of the traps. We need to stay strong in 20 odd seconds into the game with a goal up, and I definitely took the wind at them. And it was a great bit of play for Maeda, just to get his cell in there. That's what he's all about. He doesn't give anybody any time. Tavernier must be sick of him. He must be absolutely terrified of Maeda. But I thought, and then, you know, ironically, I'm still saying early on, you know, keep it tight for 10 minutes, don't let them back into the game, don't game it stupid. And we were largely very, very good. And then at half time, that being weed, a bit of an argument in the chats, I thought we were brilliant. We just thought we could have further in front and we were a bit sloppy. But the second half, I just thought, if they're going to get back into the game, like, make them get back into the game. And the way they got back into the game just sticks in my throat because it was never a penalty. Ironically, it was the only decision Beaton actually got right on the day that he made himself, was to book Silva for diving. In fact, they should have done it 30 seconds before and we wouldn't have had this incident. But, I mean, we've only seen it from one angle. We've only seen it from behind, where it looks as if Silva runs into Johnson and Johnson brings him down. VAR didn't even show the ref Johnson winning the ball. But we've not seen it from behind the play, where if you're behind the ref or for the angle at the touchline, because you probably would just see Silva diving into Johnson then diving over. Actually, but when they went to VAR, I thought they might just rescind the booking and have a drop ball or something like that. I couldn't believe they were going to get it. Like, only one team in the world get that as a penalty. And then, like, a minute later, you know, Iwata gets clearly fouled in the middle of the park. Like, it was such a clear foul, and the ref is right in front of you. And he waves play on, and they score. And usually, like, with VAR, you know, the ref's, like, telling the players to hold up, and you wait for 8 minutes. Before the replay'd finished, Beaton was at the monitor, so he knew himself it was a foul. And, you know, Walsh has obviously told him. And we get out, they celebrate another goal when disallowed. I mean, even one of the players was joining in the celebrations this time. And I thought for that moment, McGregor came on. He was clearly unfit, McGregor. But when he came on, I thought we needed to come on at a time because we needed somebody in there to calm it down. And he just, you know, you get a bit of reassurance from McGregor. And I thought we were going to get away with a 2-1. I didn't feel under any great pressure. I didn't feel like, oh, they're turning the screw now or anything like that. And then McGregor, of all people, gives the ball away with a really stupid pass. And the thing is, if he holds onto the ball and plays it a minute, a second later, he probably sees Yang going away and he probably plays it differently. If he plays it a second earlier, he gives it to Yang. Just, and then McGregor falls over. And then if somebody at my work point out at the end of the day, he gets back up at the exact time where the ball hits him and goes in. And he just thinks, like, it's not going to build. They actually thought we were going to get beat at that point. And then, like, a minute later, I thought we'd won it again with Ida. I mean, it's right to the keeper, but he does well to hit it early. I thought Bernardo did really well for that goal. But then we just need to see it out. We just need to see the game out for there. And Yang, the game completely passed him by when he came on. He's not the first sub that'll happen to him. He's not the last one either. But I just thought it was really poor. That they go, he shows Matondo where to go. And yet, but then having said that, the response for, I think it was McGregor and Johnson's quite poor as well because he's thrown half him. And I don't know, just it's a great finish for Matondo to be fair to him. But again, I thought with 5 minutes to go, we're going to get beat. But before the game, we all took a draw. I think we all said as much last week. But for 2-0 to 2-2, that happens in games. You know, it's disappointing, but it happens. And we were really unlucky because it was a penalty that was never a penalty and then a deflection. But it's just really poor to score again and then lose another goal. When I knew we were going to have like 10 minutes or something to see you. It wasn't going to be only 3 minutes added on. There was going to be 8, 9. But I was gutted to never seen it out. But, you know, in the cold, as you look at the facts now, alright, we didn't, you know, go above them in the league to an extent where they can't change it, winning their game in hand. But they sort of play for at Celtic Park. We'd have settled for that before the game. We'd have settled for that a couple of weeks ago, saying, no, you'll actually get to play at Park Quay, and you're within, you know, a point or 2 points of them. So it was must not lose for Celtic. It was must win for Rangers, but somehow, apparently it's us that, you know, are the unhappier, which is probably true because we were winning, but it's in our hands now. Of course, you could say it's still in theirs now, but it's in our hands, plus we've got to play them at Parkhead. So, and it's 3 games this season where we've completely outplayed them in most of the games, and they've no beat us, and that's, you know, twice at home. They've had Everton going for them, and they've not been able to beat us. So it looks positive, Darren, going into the last game. I think we've turned a corner in the performances. I think the performances have been really good. Hopefully O'Reilly can keep up that yesterday because he'd been quiet for a few months, but thought he was excellent yesterday. And if he can play like that for the rest of the season and we hit Atty there as well, then surely we're going to have enough about us to get over the line.
We certainly hope so. I think that
first half, like, you kind of get a better start than what happened. I know you're saying Maeda's the one that makes it happen. I thought straight from kickoff, when Rangers took kickoff, there was so many, I think there must have been about five Boer players absolutely terrorising their midfielders and defenders that forced them in any mistake. I think it's Sterling that eventually gives the ball away. Riley plays it back to Hart, and then Hart just launches the ball, and Maeda does what he does, puts Tavernier under pressure, and it's a bit of a freak goal, but it's all down to Dyson Maeda. And I think it just completely rattled Rangers. I think their game plan was obviously completely scuppered, and we just grew in a game. I know you picked up on it there. At half-time, I didn't think we had been at our brilliant best. I thought we were very much in control, but I thought that if we were really on it, I thought we would have went in 3 or 4 nil up easy. Like, we had great chances. Like, Maeda obviously has that chance inside the box, and you get a bit of everything from Maeda in that first half. He obviously that worked great. They got the first goal, then the second chance he gets looks easier. I know it's not a sitter by any means, but I think just where he puts it, he seems to hit it straight at Jack Butland. And then we also had the standard left foot cross that went in a Rose Ed. So you got a bit of everything from Maeda, but yet again, he was just so influential in this game. Matt Riley had a great header that was well saved by Butland. But I also thought there was other chances, like, yeah, Hatate flashed one wide, and I thought Kyogo should have done much better from the one that Greg Taylor played, the great cross to the back post. I thought he, as I say, should have done better and at least worked the keeper. And then we get the penalty, and it was never no going to get given. When you seen the first replay, you knew there was just no way they were going to be able to worm their way out of it. And Matt O'Reilly stepped up, and as cool as you like, just waits for Butland to move out of the way and puts it down the middle. And we kept going, and you've got to give props to Joe Hart for that save at the end of the first half, because I think if they'd have got a goal back just before half time, it could have had a major impact. But Hart stood up well, and you could tell that they were completely, I couldn't see any way back into the game for them, apart from what happened. Like, Beaton was just, we spoke about it on here last week, it's his game management, and yesterday it was the early bookings he was getting for Celtic players. I say it on Twitter, he set the tone by 5 minutes in, he books Nicholas Kuhn, or I don't know if it's 5-10 minutes in, he books Nicholas Kuhn for persistent foul, and he clearly gestures that that's what it's for when it was Nicholas Kuhn's first foul. And that just stunned me that he'd done that. And then O'Reilly gets a soft boot, and Carter Vickers gets booked, I think, and Alistair Johnston gets booked for a body check that, a so-called body check that Beaton doesn't even see. I don't know if it's Colm, who was the fourth official, he was probably the closest one to it, so I dare say he's the one that's told Beaton to book Johnson for it. And I say that I thought he was just sort of setting it up so he could send one of us off, and ultimately he didn't need to, because he got the opportunity to give him a softest penalty. It's just, you're right, even the Rangers fans were getting so frustrated with Fabio Silva, because it was about the third or fourth time that he'd been down so easily with minimal contact, and 30 seconds earlier he'd done the exact same thing. And then Beaton, one of the few decisions he gets right and on the field was booting Silva, because Johnston gets a flick on the ball, and then there's not anywhere else he can go, and Silva's already on the way down. So I don't know what the clear and obvious error was. And as much as Beaton still has the capacity to say that he's sticking with his decision, I don't know if it was Nick Walsh that was instructing whoever was sending the video to Beaton on the VAR screen, was had it set at the only bit of the video that showed that there was slight contact between Johnston and Silva. And they showed him it over and over and over again. They must have showed it, honestly, between 15 and 20 times before. I don't even think they went back as far to show clearly that Alistair Johnston had won the ball. And Rodgers spoke about it in post-match conference, where he says it's actually great defending for Alistair Johnston, because he is slightly on the back foot and he does superbly to get a flick on the ball. And the VAR just set the narrative for Beaton that you've booked him for diving. And I say to you, I'm not even sure if it would have been brought to his attention if he hadn't booked him for diving. It's as if, like you just say, it's as if they wanted him to rescind the yellow card for diving, because there was like a slight bit of contact. But it was a disgraceful decision, and Hart goes the right way, but doesn't have much chance for a penalty. And we almost done that thing where we concede in bunches. Obviously, it was a clear foul on what. I think the fact that Beaton's 2 yards away from it and doesn't get it sums up what he was up to yesterday. And I think you're right about how quick he'd been sent over to VAR. But after that, we were comfortable again. The subs, I think in hindsight, I'd have probably brought Bernardo on before McGregor, just in terms of timing, because McGregor did look unfit. And I think there was a few times that players got by him. Adam Eder, I thought he had a positive impact when he came on. He had a really great opportunity when he broke down the left-hand side and drove into the box. I think he probably should have looked for Yang, but I think he was just determined to try and get a shot away. And if he'd either scored or slid it to Yang for a potential goal, it would have made it 3-1 and put it out of sight. But yeah, as you say, the second goal is just a calamity. It's very similar to the goal that Maeda scored at Ibrox in the 2-2 last season, in terms of the way it starts with a stupid pass across the midfield that's just no one, and it's intercepted by Rangers. And as you say, McGregor does well enough to get back, but then he just gets it in front of Seema's shot, which deflects away from Joe Hart. And the thing that frustrated me most at second half is that we just sort of we turned it on for that minute after and went through them so easily, and it's as if we'd been playing within ourselves for the last half an hour, because that instant impact was just brilliant. He did as well, gets it out, and I think it's a great quick finish to get it under Butland. And I'm going about beating all day about how poor he was, but we should have been seeing it out after that. And I think that Yang's been getting it a lot on social media, and where I've seen about his letting Matondo put in, but I think Alistair Johnson's there as well. Alistair Johnson was sort of culpable for one against Rangers last year, where the exact same thing happened almost when Kent scored against us in that 2-2 game as well. So I just think it was a bit of a calamity that we then did go and concede that. But I think you're bang right. We all went into the game, and if we could have just fast-forwarded the 90 minutes and came away with a draw, I don't think we'd have been arguing too much. But Tony, what was your thoughts on it? As I say, we couldn't have got off to a better start, but second half, all that good work in the first half sort of undone. What was your thoughts?
It was a crazy game, obviously. I guess both sets of fans can probably spin it whatever way they like. I mean, if you look at it pre-game, I think every Rangers fan that I spoke to says we need to beat Celtic and we expect to beat Celtic, and if we beat Celtic, that's the league done. And I guess that was a kind of fair view for them to have. Most Celtic fans I spoke to thought we could win it, but if we go to the draw, still in our hands, six left to go, and then obviously the derby at Celtic Park, you would imagine, favours us just due to history, and obviously the no fans for them, etc. But as I say, you can look at it a couple of different ways. To lose a 2-0 lead, I can't really remember has ever thrown away a 2-0 lead in a derby in recent times, and maybe somebody can correct me there. It's really disappointing to then take the lead again at 2-2, which, I mean, at 2-2, there's only one winner, and it's no us, but Adamida and Bernardo do brilliant. We get back ahead, you hope we can be resolute and see it out, which unfortunately we don't. So you can see why Rangers try and take the positive, whereby they've come back twice, once for 2-0 down, once for 3-2 down, and then got the draw. I think overall, the first half I thought was as well as I've seen us play at Ibrox probably since the 5-1 game under Rodgers 7 years ago. I thought it was just dominant. I thought they looked dreadful. I thought they were all over the place. I think Clement made an RC's lineup, which was good to see. Obviously, he rectified it. But I thought there was some really nice wee passages of play where we really just passed it around them, and we got into some really good positions, and should have been 3-0 up, I think. I said in the chat, it's twice the last two games we've really threatened and looked like we were going to give them a proper tanking, and then we've just taken our foot off the gas. I think the game at Celtic Park, we were lucky not to end up drawing that, and then this one we unfortunately got unstuck by a brilliant finish. There's not really too much else you can say about that. I guess you can look at it a million different ways. I guess Rangers have the game in hand to go too clear. But it really is as simple as win all our games and we'll win the league. And I think most Celtic fans probably fancy us with our players coming back. I've not really thought too far ahead to the next derby game, because Rangers still need to go to Dundee. And we all know Dundee's pitch is a total mess now. They need to do that on Wednesday. You don't know if there's an upset in there or a potential injuries for them that could impact them. We then need to play St Mirren, who are coming to Celtic Park Saturday. And then Rangers need to go away to Ross County again. So I think this week's going to be a big week. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I guess if you look at it from a very basic point of view, the league title's still in our hands. I think that was always the aim, to get out of Ibrox, but it's still in our hands. And it is. I mean, it sounds simple, win 6 out of 6, but one of these six is probably going to be away to Killy and one's going to be at home to Rangers. So, and Hearts have gave us an absolute nightmare the last two games as well, so we need to play them at home as well. So there's still such a long way to go. I just At 2-0, I still wasn't overly confident because we've seen it this season before. Great first half, and then the foot off the gas second half. And then 2-1 is, I don't know why I go on and on about John Beaton. I thought he had a reasonably poor game, as he usually does. You know, one of his big mistakes early on was he didn't book Cameron Carter-Vickers. Vickers boots a bobby. It's a clear as day booking. He gets that wrong. How he doesn't give the Awata foul in real time is just fucking crazy. I think that was the worst decision of the day, how he's not given that in real time, how he can't see that. It's almost as if he's thought,
about him watching Yang get heeded and play on for 20 seconds so Rangers can get into the box and finish their attack? Was that up there?
Ah, I'm glad you brought that up as well. Well, that was it as well, but he kind of looked at Yang and went, you've hurt your heed, but we're about to put a paw into the box, so I'll wait. He just shouldn't be near these games. And I say this before, if I was a Celtic fan referee in these games, I'd be sending Huns off in a tunnel and giving penalties before the games kicked off for Celtic, so he shouldn't be anywhere near them. He's a pretty shit ref anyway, they all are. As I said in the last podcast, anybody thought Celtic were actually going to go off after the refs and Dermot Desmond was assembling this big team of lawyers, then you obviously haven't been paying much attention to our board and how little they actually give a shit about everything Celtic related. I'm not going to go on and on. I don't think there's a grand conspiracy at work or anything like that. I just think the referees are absolutely atrocious. It was good to see him get the penalty. It was good to see Goldson finally get punished for playing basketball. Again, I don't think any other players claim for it, and VAR obviously gives it. It's a phenomenal penalty. It's nice to see somebody take a penalty and actually be composed, something that we've been severely lacking this season. I still don't know where to make it. I'm still, if we could just get the win, and then, but when they equalised with 5 to go, I'd fucking, the fear after watching Man U capitulate in the stoppage time against Chelsea, I was like, please don't let them score. And then the guy Dessers had the shot as well. I just a bit shat myself. So I think I don't want to go on in the team. I mean, I think we've conceded a right few stupid last minute goals that have cost us this season. Motherwell at home, Killy at home, and New Rangers away, which is really annoying because that's kind of 6 points dropped to late goals. But then you're looking, shooting the other foot, Motherwell twice away, Hibs in the last minute. We have got a deal late as well, so I guess it works both ways. But no, I think we showed we can play in that environment where we've been to Ibrox twice with no fans. They're throwing bottles and coins and fucking anything they can at our players and staff. No doubt that'll not come to anything, as per always. And we've come away with 4 points. I think it's hard not to be frustrated this season. We've played them 3 times and we've taken 7 points. And really, if they win their game in hand, we're 2 points behind them. It's just points we've dropped elsewhere have been extremely frustrating. But that's all by the by now. I think it's just a case of getting McGregor's obviously miles off it. You need to get him back up to speed. Tatati's definitely getting there. Couldn't start to look a player. Adam Eda's come on and contributing. I think Tavernier's terrified of Maeda. I think Maeda plays with somebody that isn't under any pressure, isn't feeling the pressure of a title race. He seems to enjoy Ibrox, which I don't know if there's many players that enjoy going to Ibrox, but he'd be one of them, whereby he's performed exceptionally well the last few times we've went there. I think Tavernier, as I said before, has terrified him. I think Goldson's terrified of Kyogo, so I think we can definitely bear all these things in mind getting into the last derby, but just so much to go for then, and it does look as though it might get down to the last day, and it's a kind of fucking sickening thought, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be the closest title race probably for, I don't know, 12, 13 years. I've seen Sky were building the derby up as the biggest derby in a decade. I don't believe that. I think the one at Ibrox 2 years ago was probably the biggest in a decade, but unfortunately for them, Big Ange Postecoglou went and won, and that was a title race dead and buried. So I think overall I'm quite happy with the team and the manager as well. Just disappointed we couldn't see it out, but just need to take the rest this week and then go again on Saturday, and we just need to really fly at St Mirren. I think we need to fly at everybody we play. Rangers will get 5 games away out the next 7. We've got 4 out of the next 6 at home, so you've got to kind of favour us, but I think there's still going to be some twists and turns as it plays out. It's just all about bottle now, and you've got players that have went the distance before, played in fucking games that mean so much, treble winning games, quadruple treble winning games, fucking last year, the, you know, to win the treble and get the eighth, the world record. So I think we've got the players that played in these kind of really high pressure environments and come out on top, and it's just all about going again, and that's exciting. I'm glad we're not sitting here 5 points behind or 2 points behind with them having a game in hand, trying to make the case that the day needs to be saved. Yesterday was no disaster. I think both sets of fans can look at it, make positives and make negatives. In the end, I'll just take the positive of it. The league's in our hand. If we win our six games, we'll win the league. And that's it. So I'm quite optimistic and quite excited to see how it pans out. It's just going to be nervy, that's for sure.
Definitely. And Andy, I'll just bring you in. What were your thoughts on it? As we sort of mentioned, I think a lot of people would have taken it before the game, but just the way the game panned out, were you disappointed to only come away with a point yesterday?
I think you've got to be disappointed. You go up 2-0 at half-time, you don't see the game out. I think that's disappointing against any team. I mean, I think sort of most people would agree with that. I think I agree with most of what's been said in terms of, well, the refereeing performance is just a disgrace. I think that's, I think we can all see that. I mean, Rangers players were refereeing the game at one point. I couldn't believe the amount of times that the one that sticks out is Goulton goes down and just fucking picks up the ball and tells the ref it's a free kick. Then the ref blows and gives it. Mental, just fucking utterly bonkers decisions that were happening. And that happened a few times. Rangers players just dropping to the flare saying that's a foul. And the ref going, ah, you're right. Take it. 5 yards away from the foul and a while, doesn't he get, as has already been mentioned, a fucking head knock that he wants to see if Rangers score for first before bringing it back. Like, that guy should not be near that game ever again. He shouldn't have been near it in the first place, but just a fucking incompetent, horrible bastard of every level. And I don't even care what the reason is for it. He should, no way should he be near that game again. But I said it to you at the time, and I'm going to say it again. Even at half time, I said to you in the chat, I was like, I don't think we were brilliant. I thought we were really good. We were pressing and really good in phases. But I thought we had so many more gears to go up. And I think I've seen people talking about it's been excellent at everything. And I still look, Coon, I thought, wasn't he great? I think throughout the whole game, he had two decent balls in the box. Aside from that, he was non-existent. O'Reilly, I thought his passing was fucking a mess at times. I don't think O'Reilly had a good game. I think you take that penalty away and people would be seeing very different things. And just a lot of performances were really underwhelming. Scales, another one, poor. But as I said, there was a lot of good. The pressing was really, really good. And I think that's such a massive part of your game. The goal comes from Maeda. Like, I think one of you said it. I'm not sure if you said it on here or in the chat. That only happens to Maeda. But his willingness, his pace, his effort, that only happens to him. And these are bang on. Tavernier's shit scared him. Utterly terrified any time Maeda's going towards him, on the ball, off the ball. He just wants nothing to do with it. And at times I don't feel as if we utilise that as much as we should. But I still felt at half-time, I wasn't saying we were shite or anything like that, but I felt as if we had more gears to go through, and I was hoping that we would go through them. Obviously we didn't, which is unfortunate, but I thought, if anything, it was more to do with the belief that I've got in the players and in the team that we're even better than that. And we had chances. Listen, if you went in 4-0 off time, 4-1, if you include the Joe Hart save, for example, look, you're nobody surprised by that scoreline. Not one person would have batted an eyelid. The save for O'Reilly's header was a fucking world-class save. To their credit, it just really annoys me. They always have a fucking keeper that keeps them in games. They've done it fucking all my life for the majority of the time. I don't know where the fuck they find them, but I just still felt that we could go up through the gears, but we were still good. And then it was hoping, I think we should all say to each other as well, that I'd love to see us put 90 minutes together to just a solid performance, because we haven't done it. We've not put it together and we get punished for it. Obviously, they get a penalty, it just sums it up. And I don't want to sit and go over decisions that you've already talked about, but I completely agree with what's been said. It's just a fucking disaster of a decision. They are the only team that gets that. And then again, you think, right, okay, been called back for the foul and the equaliser. Right, let's just manage the game. And again, McGregor comes on and you think, good sub, because you're bringing on, we don't know his quality, you're bringing the captain on. Hopefully shows things up, keep the ball and sort of strangle the game a bit and see it out. I think we, barring wee spells, that we were poor again. They get their equaliser. McGregor's just, you can see why he never started. It was poor when he came on. I'm seeing that and seeing when he came on, I was glad that he didn't start. And I'm obviously the manager's seen that, which is good. And then we sort of, we go again, and I think it was you, Dan, like, we just sort of clicked into gear again, and it was almost as if we found that form for the first half. We just, right away for that equaliser, we just clicked back in, sort of try to be on it and sharp and quick, and everything we done was with purpose. He does it up the park, and the ball's in the net, and you're thinking these cunts are going to have PTSD for Edward days. Like, it's, we've done it again, and then again, it's just, it's sloppy. The goal we concede, it's not even just Yang. There's multiple bodies out there that are culpable here, and what great an effort and no wanting it. And then letting him get that amount of space. I mean, he's been fucking, he's been shown where to go and where to stick the ball, and he does it, and you get punished for it. But I suppose when you came away for the game, and you said before, I'd have taken a drop, it wasn't a terrible result. I think on the basis of being 2-0 up off time, you're gutted, and that is poor. But if we're sort of trying to be level headed and look at it, right, okay, it's still fully in our hands. And as long as I was coming away from Ibrox saying, right, listen, it's in our hands, we just need to worry about ourselves and go win our games, then that's the positive there. I think the emphasis and the onus was on them to go and win, and they never. I think they had it in their heads that they were going to come and sort of blow us away. They never. It is what it is. Maybe a bit of inexperience for one or two players and another day, all that shite. But I think we've got to take positives for how we played in the first half. And as I said, we're even better than that. I've seen the players do better, and I know we're better than what we've seen in the first half. And that was the first half we could have scored 4, 5, whatever. We've got to put that together, and again, you've got games obviously against other teams in the league which aren't the gimmies either, as we've already shown this season. But if you can get to the game against them at Parkhead, whenever that gets made after this, but I think we've got to fancy it. The crowd will be there, the away fans, it is a massive positive, it's a massive influence in these games. I think we've got to take that, and hopefully we keep bringing players back. McGregor gets up to match sharpness, even Palmer, another player that, for whatever people think, Sammy, he was an option that we would have needed, was in the wide areas. He would have perhaps been somebody that could have come in for Kuhn instead of Yang. So I take positives for it. There's things that I wasn't happy about. As I've already said, the referee's a fucking arsehole, just an incompetent shout of shite. I really think the club should be pushing back to the argument of bringing in foreign refs for these games, because I just can't be arsed with it anymore. I'm sick of fucking talking about them, and it's constantly the same shite you get for them. But I think the players have got to take a lot of confidence for how we performed in the first half, and again, how we clicked in after they get the equaliser, because I think that it's there, and we've been waiting all season for it to click for 90 minutes and then click for a few games under our own, and what a hell of a time it would be if that happened now in post-split down.
I definitely, as you say, there's a few games to go, and it's not just the Derby game that we need to concentrate on. We've got 5 other games, but I think Tony mentioned it earlier on that 5 out of the last 7 are away from home, and 4 out of your 6 remaining games will be at home, so you've got to think that's a bit of an advantage. And yeah, I think you're dead right, as you say, about the other teams. Like, our problems have been against the other teams. That's us, took 4 points out of 6 from Ibrox, with 3 out of 3 at Celtic Park so far. So I think you can trust this team to deliver in these games. It is important that no matter what happens on Wednesday night at Dens Park or any other game they play in the split, it's what we do, and we've just got to focus on ourselves, be professional, rack up as many goals as we can, because that it could come down in goal difference if the only points they drop is a point, if they draw a game, and then if we draw with them at Celtic Park, which obviously is possible as well, like it could come down to goal difference. We've got the slightly upper hand on that than now, but that could soon change. Danny, I'll come to you just before we move on to St Mirren game. Have you seen enough in this Celtic team? I know I have, like, in terms of the sort of unity of the team and the togetherness, I thought the celebrations after the third goal were brilliant in terms of showing that and the spirit about the place. And plus, Brendan Rodgers to win every game in this split in the 16-17 season. I don't think that we could be maybe any better position to have a manager that knows what's what it takes to get this league over the line. Aye, did you see enough in the team in general to believe that they will go on and not let this title go without a fight?
Gordon Strachan also did it in 2008 as well. So, really two teams that have ever won every game in the split, and they've both been Celtic. So that bodes well. I think that I've just seen the celebrate. I've seen the third goal again. What a response for us. But great bit of play. But they're playing for Rodgers. You've seen that. I mean, you've seen that in the celebrations for the third goal. They're playing for the manager. I think you beat St Mirren on Saturday. Beat St Mirren on Saturday and then just have a team meeting and just draw a line under everything that's happened in the season. Who's made mistakes? Who should have done this? Who should have done that? Which subs Rodgers should have made? Who should have played? Who should have signed? Like, even the fans and the board, just put a pause on all the animosity. Just everybody, I mean, don't get it wrong, Celtic board will get in the way and probably ban the fans fucking for the split games. But you just need, everybody's got to get on board for the last five games of the league and just have a united effort. Just go right for it. The team, the fans are right behind the team. The team are right behind the manager. Aye, there's been mistakes, but do you know what? If we win the league, you can look, nobody's going to think fair a year, oh God, we were shite that year and, you know, nearly threw it away. It's all going to be remembered for that last game. So, the performance, I thought the performance yesterday was very good. I thought they lost a bit of control in the second half, but control was kind of, the initiative was handed to the opposition with a call a ridiculous penalty. And then the ref didn't his very best to let them score again, like, seconds later, but maybe they'd have been better if Rangers were pummeling balls into the box and Carter Vickers and Scales could have got on with it. But we seemed to, it was kind of us getting the ball away that cost us that for the second goal, and then the third's just poor defending. But I've seen enough. And like, the Hearts game's a total outlier. I mean, we got a dodge, another dodgy penalty and a red card against us, which kind of held the game flat. But we played well enough that day. We created a lot of chances. Since the, is it Aberdeen game? Since the Kilmarnock game at home, where we were quite poor, I think we've been really good. I think the Motherwell game, the second half, was a bit of a corner that we've turned, and I think we've not looked back since, really. The Dundee game at home was great. The Hearts game's an outlier in that we've been good in most of the games. I agree that we've not stretched, you know, a 90-minute performance yet, but I still think, I mean, Rodgers said that after the game, we were the only team that tried to play football. And as you said, I think it was you that said, I think it was Tony that said that we can play in that environment. We've proved it this season. I think we've turned a corner. I'm more confident about winning the league than I was before the like last week, because if you get beat, you're staring down the barrel of, you know, if they go win their game in hand, which they should do, you're looking at about five behind. And then if we beat them at Celtic Park, it might not be enough. They don't have any margin for error now, so we'll see how they deal with that. Probably winning Wednesday night, they've probably got enough of a boost coming back. And fair enough, you know what I mean? They came back for 2-0 down, then they came back for 3-2 down to get a draw. I can see why their fans would be happy. You don't want to get beaten any game. But at the end of the day, the draw suited us a lot better than it suited them. Even at 3-2 Celtic, the draw, you know, it should do. You know, it should suit us better in the long term. But that's up, the pressure's now on us to go make, you know, use of that advantage. But I'm much more confident than I was last week. I think we've just proven we're a better team than them all season. When we get to play them at Celtic Park, I'm more worried about the other games. But I just draw a line under everything that's happened this season and just write every, Roger's got to sit and go, right, I need one effort for the next 5-6 games. Just get us over the line. If you don't do anything else, just get us over the line. And hopefully it'll be enough. But as Tony said earlier on, it's going to be a sickening feeling for the next 5 or 6 weeks, I think. And you know, all things are heading towards a, don't want to get ahead of yourself, but all things are heading towards a cup final at the end of it as well against them. So next 5-6 weeks are going to be eventful.
I definitely so think we're a pretty unbiased podcast, I would say, and if we see an individual who's been head and shoulders apart this season, especially a keeper who's kept our team in games home and in Europe, it's something that should get recognised, whether it's a Celtic player or no. So Tony, I'll come to you. Gareth Southgate was in the stand yesterday to watch the man I'm talking about. Do you think Joe Hart's done enough to get an England recall and see a fairy tale end to his playing career?
I was wondering where you were going there. No, I think Joe's had it. But to be fair to Joe Hart, you know, he's actually been really good recently. So credit to him, and he did make a big save at 2-0, and I think he'd done everything in his power to save that penalty. But I think the four of us could have been in that net and it would still have bounced in. So, aye, it just seemed to be there was all the stars were out yesterday for the game. Gareth Southgate and Gordon Ramsay was there. I just think it was quite funny that obviously Southgate was there to see Butland and he get Panenka. Then I thought he made a total ass of it for the Ida goal. I thought it was right at him and he couldn't get down quick enough. So I think the England Euro squad will probably have Pickford and maybe the guy for Arsenal and maybe Nick Pope. Can't say I really care. I just hope France win the Euros. So that's my prediction for that. Not that anybody really gives a fuck.
Darren cares.
Oh, well, I care as well, but I don't really care who England take to the tournament. It went completely off track here because you brought up Joe Hart. Joe Hart was fine. I thought Vickers was good. Gales gives me the fear. I thought Taylor was all right. Johnson, I thought, was okay as well. McGregor, as I say, is miles off. I thought Iwata was good. O'Reilly looked really good in spells. When he's got the ball in tight spaces, he seems to get out of trouble. Attack was good then, ran out of steam. We've spoke about the front three, and I've seen Yang getting quite a lot of stick. He obviously should do better at the final goal, but I think that's just naivety and inexperience. I would call him a fucking disgrace. I'm not going to go that harsh on him. It's unfortunate that Matondo's come in and then unleashed a great shot that's caused them equalised. But no, we're going to need the full squad for the next six games. Hopefully it is eight games. Well, it'll be at least seven. Hopefully we do get to the Scottish Cup final, as Danny mentioned, and hopefully that's to win the double, which would be absolutely superb. I think Danny's right in what he said as well. Everything that's come before now, all the gripes we have with the board, which will always be there, and hopefully we do get change. You do kind of just put it to one side for now, and it's all about giving the team phenomenal backing, and that's what the fans have done. You've seen the Green Brigade and the boys that turned up to Celtic Park on Saturday. Wish the team good luck as they headed to the hotel. I mean, just unbelievable support. People giving up on Saturday afternoon when the game's not even on to clap a bus. So, fair play to everybody that turned up, and hopefully we can kick on. If anybody fancies taking points after Huns, then that would be brilliant. And you just need to do your business. I think that is the beauty of it, is regardless what they do, they could win 6 out of 7. But if we win 6 out of 6, we'll be the champions. So, aye, so send it on. I guess all we can do is look forward to it, and hopefully we can get the league title won and can build on it for next season. But, aye, one game at a time. Are you wanting a prediction for St Mirren, or are you going to ask something else?
Aye, go for it. Give me your St Mirren prediction.
2-0 St Mirren. No, I'm going to go for 3-0 Celtic, and I'll go for Kyogo, Kuhn, and Ademida to get a goal off the bench. And I'll go even braver. I think come the end of this week, we might still be top of the league. That's my, who knows, could be totally wrong, but there you go.
Here's hoping. I think you're right about the Yang criticism being a wee bit over the top. I know, I think Danny says it'll know be the first and it'll know be the last take most of the bench and no make an impact, but I think he's shown enough the last few months to show that he's going to have a part to play, and that's nothing. I remember a few months ago, a well-known Celtic podcast was calling him the worst ever Celt, or at least posing the question, was he the worst ever player you'd seen for Celtic? So, I'm no name and shame them, but if you think of a number between 19 and 21, you might have an idea who it was, but we're the ones that get banned. But there you go. Andy, I'll come on to you for the St Mirren game. It's obviously a massive game, as we say, our problems have came in these type of games that were expected, like the Motherwell game at home, St Johnstone at home at the start of the season, Kilmarnock at home, Hearts at home. These are the games that we do seem to have slipped up a bit. And what do you expect on Saturday? I know St Mirren confirmed their top six status at the weekend, even though they beat off Hearts. They're sitting in fifth place. They're 5 points behind Kilmarnock. So I'm not saying that St Mirren's season's done by any sort of imagination, but we should have much more to play for and much more quality to see them off relatively comfortably, I would think. And as I said earlier, I think it is quite important that we start getting goals on the scoreboard as well, in case it does come to any goal difference. What's your thoughts on Saturday, and would you be making any changes to the team?
I do think their season is fucking done, so we should boot and really tackle them. But I think there maybe will be changes. I can probably see McGregor coming in. I think realistically you want to get him up to speed as soon as possible. A home game's probably the best way to do that, all things considered. So I reckon you might see McGregor starting. Aside from that, I don't know if there'll be too many changes. It depends, obviously, if people have come out unscathed. I'd be surprised if it was too many aside for that again. You're going to want Hitati to keep getting the game time, get as sharp as possible. Kyogo, you probably want to hit him to sort of hit a bit of scoring form. Obviously, he's blanked in his last two games, but the two prior to that, he's had a couple of goals. So you want to sort of get a hot streak to the world's end of the season. So
I think maybe the only one you see is McGregor, injury dependent on sort of the rest of the team. Anybody else is just sort of getting match fitness, but. I think we might see us out the traps quite early. I think we won 3-0 in a day. I think it'll be a big performance for us. And I think a clean sheet would be massively important. Obviously, we've conceded a couple of the day. Conceded a goal to St Johnstone and a two at Livingston. And even in the sort of big win against Dundee, we conceded. Well, I think we'll go out and get a clean sheet. And I think that'll be huge for us, getting a clean sheet for the back line, because obviously that's something we've found tough, so hard to come by this season. I'll go for 3-0.
I would certainly take that. Danny, what's your thoughts on Saturday? And again, would you be making many changes as Adam Eder played his way into contention?
No, because I thought Kyogo did a good game in the first 60 minutes. I just thought he went Hitati tired. Kyogo kind of came right out of the game. He wasn't getting fouled as much. But no, I would probably keep the same team and bring McGregor in for Awata. I thought Awata was fine yesterday. I thought his use of the ball was mostly pretty good. I just, especially in the first half when we were attacking, there was a few times where Maeda and Kuhn were cutting inside, and usually you see McGregor going to get the ball. Awata was further behind and the ball was going further back to Taylor and then Scales and that again. So I thought McGregor was a big miss in that regard. I still think Awata could be quicker on the ball. I think if he improves his speed on the ball, I think we've got a Jeremy player. I think he's most of the way there. I think he's a brilliant player, but it's just some moments he lets you sell down. He'll probably come out for McGregor. It's a good game to get McGregor back if he's fit. Sit Marin, we was talking about this, David Rangers fan him up. If you look at his Black Hearts this season, it's just about done. They're going to finish third, but Kilmarnock are obviously fighting for fourth. Sit Marin are as well, but if we beat Sit Marin and Kilmarnock win at the weekend, they'd be eight behind Kilmarnock. You're maybe thinking, well, that's that sorted. But this makes these teams dangerous, because it's not like they've got nothing to play for, but they've got nothing to lose either. So, you know, you've got a Hearts team who've already beat us at Celtic Park this year, coming back to Celtic Park with no fears. St Mirren, I think they scored first against us at Celtic Park this season. Gave us a bit of a game, we got a late winner through O. Kilmarnock are obviously no mugs, and Dundee have had a decent season, although they got a bit of a shoot in the last time they came to Parkhead. But it's got to be dangerous. And I've just, VLR on Twitter said as well, Neil Lennon's 09-10 team for the Mowbray season, they won every game after a split as well. So we've done it three times. So hopefully it's fourth time. Fourth time's a charm. But Saturday, again, massive game. But, you know, this is what it's all about. This is why we love football. This is why we support Celtic. A 3-0 was a good shout. I think it could be, I'll go for 4, I think. I'd love to see us come out of the trap early again. I don't think we'll score after 20-odd seconds, but I'd like to see us come out again and blow a team away in the first half, like we should have done yesterday. So I'd like to see us a few goals up at half-time and then get another few. I think O'Reilly will score at least 2. I'm going to predict O'Reilly will finish the season strongly and carries to the title. So I think he'll get 2. Kyogo will get the first, and I'll agree with Tony. I think Big Eder will come off the bench and score. And I was delighted for him. His goal yesterday, I was delighted for Eder. He took his goal really well. And I thought he played quite well when he came on as well. He put his sail about. It was just at a time where the team had tired and he never really did anybody up with him. But he's not let us down since he signed. And he's honest as the day is long. He tries his heart out. He fucking runs after Everton. So hopefully he'll have plenty of chances to impress the rest of the season as well. But I'm really looking forward to Saturday, and Tony says I've got a sneaky feeling that we could be top of the league come the end of next week.
Certainly hope so, and past the 50-minute mark, so I've not got any time to comment on it, but I've just read on the Daily Record that Celtic has written to the SFA for clarification over the Fabio Silva penalty, as they're convinced ref John Beaton wasn't given the full picture, which we sort of mentioned earlier that he wasn't shown the full clip. But
see the thing is, right, you'll hear about how we're paranoid and all that, but if they're only showing the ref evidence to give Rangers a penalty, like, they've got every right to ask for it.
It's the fact they showed it first, didn't they? They showed it over and over and over till it was in Beaton's mind. Aye, there's definitely contact there.
They only showed it for one angle as well. There wasn't any second angle. They've showed it for behind Johnson. Like, you can't even see any contact. It's just implied that there's contact. Don't get me wrong, there obviously is, but it's because Silva dived into him and then dived again. But again, they keep telling us like you only moan when you get beat. So, I mean, we didn't get beat yesterday. We've got every right to ask why he wasn't showing that. If they're deeming that Johnson winning the ball is irrelevant, then that's a different argument. But they'll talk about that Arsenal penalty Saturday night. That'll be their out. But it's just pathetic that happened. And good luck to Celtic trying to get answers. I mean, it probably won't happen. But they should be asking a lot of questions about that refereeing performance. But that could be us started for another role. But we'll not go there.
Like you say, maybe for another time. But I just on St Mirren, I think we'll be too strong. I think the team, as I mentioned, are United, have gone for the league, for the manager, for each other, for the fans. I think we'll have too much. I think it'll be 4-0 Celtic. And I think that Kyogo will continue his fine home scoring form. Although, only a few weeks until I can bring up that away stat again, which I'm sure people will be looking forward to. But I think...
Fucking fed up listening to that stupid fucking stat. He's fucking peace. No scored away for October. Can't wait to the next away game. He better fucking score.
Just wait till he scores at Hampden the following week, and I don't count that as that's a neutral venue. But we'll see. No, hopefully I think he'll go well on the score sheet. He's been really good at Celtic Park the last few games at Celtic Park. So I think he'll get a double, and I think that who else will score? Maeda will get one, and Palma will come off the bench and get the fourth. I think Callum McGregor will come back in. As I said, that semi-final's the week after. I think they'll be looking to get more minutes in him ahead of that massive game. So that's pretty much all Aberdeen have to play for in this season now. So I think that'll be a massive game that's maybe trickier than people think. You've heard all your predictions. Let us know what you think. Just search for us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Full Times Our Podcast. You'll find us. Gauge your prediction. If you get it right, we'll give you a shout out. But absolutely nobody, I think, quite reasonably predicted 3-each yesterday, so no shout outs this week. But as I say, make sure you're following us on there so you don't miss any content, and we will speak to you after the St Mirren game at some point. Hail, hail.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.